football fans, welcome back to the Fourth and a Mile podcast alongside my good friends Brady, Bradley, and Jeremy. My name is Josh, and we appreciate you all tuning in. Fellas, week three is almost in the books. We got a Monday night game here tonight. How are we doing?
I'm in a league. I'm in two leagues with Bradley and Jeremy together. I would like for them to explain how they went this week.
I mean, I can go first.
Hey, no, I'll go first. I'll go first.
This is the good part of the segment, by the way.
week three is a tough cookie, I tell you. That's the week where you kind of get a week off. It's kind of the bye week. And I took it early. We got a lot of games left, and we're going to be all right.
On my side, right now it feels like we're not going to be all right. That's what it feels like. Not we go through the same pain any of our listeners do. And this week, okay, I am in more leagues than I'd probably like to admit. But out of my leagues, okay, I have two. I have one league in which I scored 81 PPR points. Okay. That was one of the leagues.
You hate to see that.
And I'm also in a half point PPR league in which I scored 67 fantasy points.
It's not going to get the job done.
It's really not. It's just not. And it hurts. It hurts. Oh, it hurts. But guess what? It's fantasy football, baby. We'll rally. We got another week next week. Let's go.
All right, my turn to get on my soapbox. I traded all in on a dynasty league that we're all in. Traded, got Javonte Williams, and I got Cortland Sutton from Bradley. And I haven't won a game since they've been on my roster. I put up like 130, or I don't even know. It was like 120, 130 points this week and still lost. Do you hate to see that?
Yeah, you really do hate to see it.
The same as 81 and still losing. So,
yep, that's true.
Okay, so that actually brings up a decent, big macro level point. Have you heard of these leagues that, like, if you beat the median score of all the teams in the league, you get like one win of the week? So there's two outcomes from each week.
Heck no.
I have heard of it yet.
I don't use the term hate a lot. I hate that idea. I'm okay with the idea of that sixth team that scores the most points gets to go to the playoffs. But weekly wins, nah, I'm not in on that.
Okay.
Me neither. It's a good call out. Let's talk injuries first. So our NFL notables, I'll go through these five injuries really quick. You guys let me know if anyone's serious. So we'll start with the Mac Jones ankle injury. You guys are concerned about that one? Yes?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
I think the reports are he might be out for a couple weeks, but it looked really bad. It was on the last play of the game. David Montgomery, ankle/knee. The report came out that it's better than what they expected. Level of concern there.
I mean, especially I think anytime someone doesn't return to the game, you have to be a little bit concerned that it's going to be a couple weeks.
Especially with how well Herbert did, like the Bears, like I don't think it's in their best interest to rush him back and be in a situation that maybe the Lions are in right now, where they rushed Swift back too soon. And I think it's just to kind of take it easy, make sure that he's healthy enough to not, you know, re-aggravate and do what's best for him.
Yep. Two Saints receivers, Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry. Michael Thomas with a foot injury, Jarvis Landry with an ankle injury. Michael Thomas is more, I guess, severe or more concerned than Jarvis Landry's. I guess, what's your thoughts going over to London? Do you think they play this week?
I would be surprised if Michael Thomas plays.
It's a tough time for that injury to happen because, like, obviously it's tough to travel, like, being injured, and I would be surprised.
Okay. Dalvin Cook, shoulder injury. I personally have zero concern of him playing next week. What are your guys' thoughts?
He's done it before. I mean, this is not uncharted territory for him.
Yeah, he's got that. What does he have? That like little mechanism that can keep his shoulder in place, and then he's just basically fine.
I just don't know why he doesn't wear that all the time.
I mean, especially if it's something that he's dealt with, like if it's like a continual thing that he's dealt with, I don't understand either.
Yeah, Jeremy, do you have something to say?
I was just going to say, does it concern you that I believe it's the same shoulder he has done that to?
I guess I'll go to my resident doctor. Is that concerning?
It's not surprising. It's not okay. Necessarily concerning.
Break and fracture still the same thing.
I'm so glad we're gonna talk about this. Yeah, I had three people talk to me about this, and I laughed every single time because it's the most ridiculous thing about my entire life.
Good. Last but certainly not least, DeAndre Swift had a shoulder injury. It also had a foot ankle injury. He's all over the place. I think Dan Campbell said he's supposed to be out the next 2 weeks, and then they're bye, so he might be out for the next 3 weeks. Jamal Williams out in free agency. I know we're not talking about waivers, but here's your early spoiler alert. Go get Jamal Williams.
I think it's kind of a good idea to be able to kind of parlay the bye week and be able to kind of get some extra time for him, though, and make sure that Swift is going to be ready for the last – I mean, it's not the last half of the season because we're nowhere near that, but the finishing the year strong. Yeah, the home stretch. There you go.
Yep, I agree with that. Any other injuries that I missed? Anything else to call out with these injuries? If we don't, then let's move to week three recap. We're doing it the same way we did last week. We have a quote-unquote expert who's going to break down the game, and then we'll just give some initial thoughts too. So we're starting with the Thursday night game, Pittsburgh versus Cleveland. Bradley, you're up on this game.
Yeah, honestly, a pretty good Thursday night slate for us. Let's start with the good. I like the way that Brady did this last week. We'll start with the good. We'll start at the top. Amari Cooper, greater than 30% target share again. Great game again. He's right now wide receiver 12. He's a must start for you if he's on your roster. Certainly a surprise for me. Another good was David Njoku. He kind of had a breakout game, 10 targets. Looked really good with those targets as well. Was moving well with the ball. The bad, Pittsburgh Steelers in general were bad. Trubisky is not really playing very well. He had a rushing touchdown that kind of saved his fantasy day. And then from the Browns side, Kareem Hunt owners are a little bit disappointed. He had two opportunities inside the five to punch it into the end zone, and that really kind of handicapped his game for the week. So you could look at it two ways, that he was disappointed or disappointment. You could also look at it as he got those opportunities instead of Nick Chubb. So either way you look at it, I mean, he didn't get in the end zone. So definitely more to come for Kareem Hunt, I feel.
How concerned are you with Najee?
Fairly. I'm concerned because he's got a pretty bad team. Like, the Steelers aren't good. Like, their defense is good with T.J. Watt, but their offensive line has improved, but it's not good.
I'm concerned that he's kind of inefficient. So he had 15 carries for 55 yards, 3.73 yards.
That's been his MO, just volume, volume, volume.
Yeah, so he has an average over – that was the most he's averaged all season. Jaylen Warren – he was efficient. He averaged 7.5 yards a carry. Granted, it was only 4 carries, but still efficient. So, like, is it Najee? Is it the offensive line? Is it the play calls? What is it?
Honestly, I think it's Trubisky. Like, right now, as far as Najee's value is concerned, he is not looking to dump it down to him at all. Like, he is going to the first read. He's throwing it to Deontay. It feels like almost every time. I legitimately think when they switch to Kenny Pickett or Ryan Pickett, as Herb Street wanted to keep calling.
He already did.
When they switch to Pickett, which I would expect to be sooner rather than later, I actually think that could help some of the fantasy assets here and probably most importantly, Najee.
All the arrows are going down in Pittsburgh other than Deontay, though, correct? Is there anyone that you're starting, like Patty F, like anyone?
Pickett?
No, just generally speaking, like the stock of the players on the Steelers right now. Anyone pointing up other than Deontay?
Pickens.
I like Pickens. I think Pickens has a really good chance to turn it around. And I think he's one of those guys that'll benefit from Kenny Pickett.
You got to think about it. They've been practicing with each other all offseason, like rookie OTAs. They were both on the second team for a while there too. So I think Pickett is an interesting player to keep an eye on. I have him in like a 5 bench spot, and I've been holding on to him just because I don't know. I don't know if there's anything out in waivers that's better. Let's move to New Orleans versus Carolina. Jeremy, this game is your breakdown. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, so Carolina gets a big 22-14 victory over a divisional foe, which I think is probably a pretty surprising result to most. At this point, you're probably not starting either of those two quarterbacks between Baker or Jameis until proven otherwise. In a plus-plus matchup, I think you could maybe twist my arm and talk me into Winston, but And that's only because I think he's throwing for a decent amount of yardage right now. And they clearly that's what they're going to be doing. Especially kind of with Kamara a little banged up. New week, same story for UncMC. He continues to play good football and is helping on the field, but not really producing for fantasy rosters like we thought. And again, biggest disappointment, two targets. Not going to get the job done for what we thought Christian McCaffrey.
Baker, I'm going to continue to say this until you target my boy.
It is a disappointing thing. I mean, now I think the one silver lining for any Christian McCaffrey managers out there is Jonathan Taylor has been kind of poo-poo the last 2 weeks too. So it makes you like, oh, okay. I didn't.
Dude, running backs in general have been so bad.
McCaffrey's the RB10 right now. Like, we're saying how bad he still had double-digit fantasy points. Like, I would definitely – he has been in double digits every single week for half-point PPR.
And he's still been a really good running back. Right. He just hasn't been – I mean, because he – what? I think it was 20 rushes for 108 yards or it was something right around
25
that.
For 108, yep.
Yep. As for the wide receivers in this game, on the Saints side, Michael Thomas, we talked about already, got a little banged up. Situation you need to monitor. Chris Olave exploded, turned his 13 targets into a big performance this time. So that's back-to-back 13-target weeks for him. But this time it was for 147 yards. I think this is something that can continue. They see him as a talent in this offense, somebody that they're going to consistently. And it's not a dump down to Kamara anymore. It's looking for Chris Olave. So Jarvis is one, I think, you know, we'll talk about later with the injury, probably something you're not totally holding on to. Now, if Thomas is hurt or it's a more serious thing, could be something maybe you just stash. For the Panthers, just like we all predicted, baby, LaVisca Chenault, the leading receiver. Only had
Jeremy,
two catches.
My guy, 2021.
Yup. We ain't got to talk about it. He only had two catches. He turned one of them into a long touchdown, though. No, seriously, the Panthers receiver room is not something you're so excited about in the slightest. We're going to talk about him, Josh.
DJ Moore. Let's pour one out for him.
One catch, 2 yards, 6 targets.
What are we doing?
DJ Moore. I mean, at this point, you can't drop him.
No, of course not. But you're not.
You can't drop him. You can't play him.
No, and you can't trade him.
He's firmly left out.
He's the Allen Robinson last year, right now. Like that's what he is. Like yep. You can't
Don't
drop
say
him.
That. Don't
I'm you
say
can't
that.
Drop Allen Robinson. Oh. You can't trade him last year. Like what he was.
You're totally right.
Okay.
Does this get better? Like, do we think it can get better?
It can't get worse. So. It can't get worse.
Don't worry. It was Joe Brady's fault, though, that offense wasn't running, though.
Hey, they won.
Dude, Baker's stock. Baker's, dude, Cleveland's doing fine. A lot of people are producing in Cleveland now with Jacoby Brissett, and Baker's just done nothing but hurt all the options in Carolina. It does not look good for him right now.
Right. Let's move on to the game of the week, Houston versus Chicago, our fan favorite Houston Texans. Let's start with them. The good for Houston, I'll start with Damian Pierce. In my opinion, he's the unquestioned running back you want in the Houston backfield, and I don't think it's a question. I know we had a question in it after week one. He outsnapped Burkhead. He had 20 carries. For me, he's a my guy for me. This is what I was expecting for Damian Pierce. Let's talk about the bad. We talked about last week. I think I had Houston last week as well. We said Brandon Cooks is extremely safe. It's a trade four. That might not be the case. He did not have the best week. Only caught 2 of his 7 targets. The silver lining for Brandon Cooks, he did have a 22% target rate. Not horrible. Like, it's not great, but it's not horrible. Let's talk about Chicago. What's the good there? Khalil Herbert looked really good. I don't know if that's a product of the system or the player or the opponent. I simply don't know. Time will tell on that. The bad, David Montgomery's injury. I don't know if he's going to play. If he plays, it might be a little bit murky between Herbert and David Montgomery. And then last but not least, Justin Fields looked really, really, really bad. 8 of 17 for 106 yards and 2 interceptions. This might be the reason why Mooney and Kmet are on waivers, right? Like that's got to be the reason why. Let's just look at the first 3 weeks. He's thrown the ball 45 times. Absolutely. Here's an interesting nugget for you. There was 4 quarterbacks this Sunday who threw 45 or more passes in the game. More passes than he's thrown all 3 weeks.
I don't understand.
It's bad. So that was my thought on the games.
He had 8 rushes for 47 yards, but again, like that's not even like it should be a more crooked number than that. If you're only throwing 17 times, you already have like 16 rush attempts.
Right.
So Khalil Herbert almost averaging 8 a carry. So if David Montgomery's out, is he like a top 12 play next week?
No.
Settle 16. Down on that.
I don't think that's a ridiculous line at all.
I do.
If he's going to get all the
pick
work,
pick him as your start of the week, and we'll give you a top 12.
No.
Who do they play?
They play the Giants.
I don't know.
If Dave Montgomery's not there and they're going to run the ball as much as they've been.
Coach Dabble's got those boys playing.
Dable,
but that's fine.
He's making fun of me.
Okay? He was making fun of Jeremy, guys.
Oh, sorry.
He is dabbled.
We're spending too much time for Chicago and Houston. Let's move on to Kansas City versus Indy.
Let's go. Yeah, so the one thing I thought of when I was thinking of this game was like, have you guys ever played in those eliminator leagues where you just pick a winner, and if you survive the week, you go to the next one, you can't repeat the team that you pick?
Yes.
Yep.
I just could, like, this has got to eliminate, like, 50% of people that are still in those leagues because this seemed like such a layup. Indy's been so bad, and KC's obviously quite a great team. So let's just start with the good. Kelsey's doing exactly what you drafted him for. He's just been spectacular, absolutely worth the draft capital that you've given him. He's a huge advantage at the position. Clyde Edwards-Helaire finds the end zone again, and I don't know if that's a trade high situation or just maintain what you have, but it's been really, really odd. And Juju's the guy that you're the most confident in of the KC wide receiver room. He had, 8 targets for 89 yards. You got to be pretty happy with that if you started Juju. From the Indy side, we spoke about it earlier, just kind of going to the bad now. Jonathan Taylor, less than 4 a carry, 5 targets, only 20 yards, 3 catches. What do we feel thinking about Jonathan Taylor? Like, obviously, it's been a huge disappointment, but are you concerned rest of season, or are you doing okay?
I'm fine. I'm okay. You can't trade him.
Yeah, and with Matt Ryan picking up his play, that'll increase Jonathan Taylor's workload, I think.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, too. I mean, he still had 21 rushes and 5 targets.
It's a ton of work. Yeah, and Michael Pittman's just exactly who we thought he was preseason. Just, dominating the targets in his wide receiver room and doing a whole lot with it. So I think that's something that we can absolutely, write to the bank every single week. Anything from this game else that you guys want? Oh, Jelani?
You missed one. Yes.
Jelani? With 2 tutties?
Let's go. Like, that's tight end 1 from the 2022 class.
Mo Alie-Cox, step aside.
2 catches, 2 tuts?
It's efficiency at its finest.
If only you had him as your start of the week this last week.
Son of a gun.
I'm curious what you guys think. I know where Brady's at. I think he's been pretty adamant that Clyde's a trade high. I have been sort of towing the line. I think he's a trade high. How often do you look at a box score and the dude has more rushing touchdowns than he does rushing yards?
Brady wants Clyde.
I flipped around. Sorry, Bradley, were you the trade high? My fault.
Get rid of him.
He's running back 3 in the year.
Yeah, just as many carries as Jerick McKinnon did.
7 rushes, 0 yards, 1 rushing touchdown.
I don't know, man. I think I'm with Becker on that.
So, would you...
That's a good point. Like, we have to put it in context.
What's the gap between... So, if you're the Clyde owner, what would you have to include to get Austin Eckler?
Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, yeah. So that's a good one. Brandon Cooks and Clyde or Austin Eckler.
Eckler.
I would take Eckler.
Probably Eckler.
I would take Clyde and Cooks.
It's gonna do.
I think Clyde's solid for the rest of the year.
The volume is super concerning for me.
This is where you're seeing being on a good team really elevating the fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Let's move on to the next game. Buffalo versus Miami. Real quick, hold on. Austin Eckler had 56% of the snaps for the Chargers. That's not a high target for a top five pick. That anyways, brother.
Not wrong.
Thanks for that, Brady. Appreciate that. Buffalo, Miami, the good. I think Devin Singletary is taking a stronghold on that backfield. Let him in targets, let him in carries, and really wasn't close with the other ones. He had doubled as many as Cook and Moss had combined. So really good game for Singletary, especially through the air. Josh Allen, I don't know. I know Brady was pretty adamant about end of the first, beginning of the second, more so I think it was the beginning of second. Like, explain to me why we didn't pick him in the middle of the first, right? This guy's a lock for 30 points at this point every week, and he seems just incredibly safe. In my opinion, Jalen Waddle's Tua's favorite target. I know that that Tyreek Hill's target share is better than Jalen Waddle's, but it just seems like week in and week out, Jalen Waddle's outperforming Tyreek Hill. The bad, what are you going to do with Miami's running backs? One week it's Chase Edmonds, the next week it's Mostert, then it's the other one, and then it's back to the other one. So, I mean, what do you do with them? In my opinion, I think you sit both of them until one takes a stronghold. Tyreek Hill wasn't a factor, and it was Buffalo's secondary that was really dismantled. And finally, like, do you cut Gabe Davis? Like, honest question. Like, that's a fair question.
Absolutely is a fair question. I would say you hold him, though.
Definitely hold him.
His target share was less than 10%.
You don't.
Yeah, he's coming back from the injury. I would not expect Devin Singletary or a running back to have 11 targets again.
Yeah, but week one, he wasn't hurt. He still had only 6 targets of Josh Allen's 31 attempts. Like, that's not a lot.
He's not on Stash or Trash this week. You hold.
I think so.
I'm kidding. It's a legit question. It is definitely a legit question.
I definitely understand it.
And I disagree with your opinion on the Miami backfield, I think. I think you can play Edmonds as a low RB2.
Absolutely not.
I totally disagree.
He had less attempts than Mostert did. He just got lucky enough to fall in the end zone twice.
Played 44% of the snaps.
And 7 total attempts, or 7 times he touched the ball.
You don't love that.
If you're in a desperation pinch, I know what you're saying. Like, they could be in more positive game scripts coming forward. I'm looking at their schedule right now. So after Cincinnati, they play the Jets. That's a good game script. They play the Vikings. That's a terrible game script for them. They're going to get their butts handed to them. Pittsburgh's a good game script. Detroit, good one. Like, I can see what you're saying there.
Nope.
Okay. The one shining spot for Gabe Davis is that he has played 96 and 98% of the snaps. So he's on the field. He's
getting good cardio.
Definitely a little concerning that he's
getting good cardio, he says.
Jeremy, talk to us about our Vikings. What do we got to know?
Oh, what do you not know already? Minnesota. Minnesota steals a victory late against one of the top offenses in the league over the first 3 weeks, apparently. Goff has proven he can carry some fancy assets, and I also think he's streamable. Amon-Ra cooled off a little bit, but is someone I still consider a stud. I mean, it's an every week play. He's been phenomenal. Pay attention to his injury situation and his practice situation throughout the week. I know he got a little banged up. Jamal Williams' stock has skyrocketed. If Swift misses any time with his injury, which sounds like it could be 2 weeks, and this is a new injury, it's shoulder and ankle he's kind of dealing with now. I mean, Jamal Williams is a must start with what they want to do with their offense, how much he was already a factor, even before Swift being gone. If Swift is gone, you're starting Jamal Williams.
Him over Khalil Herbert, correct?
We'll talk about waivers.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's tough. On the Vikings side, Thielen finally produced, found the end zone. Justin Jefferson had another disappointing outing. I think after week one, obviously you're not going to see what you saw week one consistently, but maybe 80% of that, like you're seeing about 20% of that right now. So you're definitely a little disappointed. I don't think it's something you're overly concerned about. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in football. They're going to find a way to get him the ball. Dalvin got banged up, like we talked about already. Just monitor it. If he happens to miss a game, You have Alexander Mattison, which most people, I think, you have on your roster at this point. If you have him, you treat him just like Dalvin if Dalvin's not playing. We've seen it. He might not be the most efficient in the world, but he's going to get the same looks, same work, and you don't have an Alexander Mattison behind him. So you start him. Irv came back down to earth a little bit, but I think it's still someone probably worth streaming. He's struggling a little bit with the job.
Brady is so salt when it comes to Irv.
Oh, my gosh. I've been here 2 years about Swervo. Like, I know. I like the player.
He had a nice catch, a little sliding catch. That was a nice grab.
And drop.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, that's been happening a lot. One thing from this game I think was a big takeaway for me is that Amon-Ra is, I think he's not locked, but I feel pretty confident about him being top 12 wide receiver rest of year. I think that, like, he has been, like, if you watch the game, which, I mean, I know the three of us did for sure. He was limping off the field consistently, but they were still, like, force feeding him the ball whenever he was able to, like, you know, muster up the, you know, pain tolerance to run a route or something. I just think that Detroit is going to run through St. Brown like crazy.
Okay, let's move on to Baltimore versus New England.
Hold on. Jalen Reagor, one catch, 2 yards. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, good call.
Breakout
starting
game.
With the Ravens. Starting with the Ravens, what I really liked or what was good about the Ravens, you guys might see this as a negative. I thought J.K. Dobbins playing 43% of the snaps was a lot. I thought that was more than what he was going to play in his first game back. Wasn't good, wasn't efficient, but it was more than I thought he was going to play.
He wasn't terrible though.
No, he wasn't terrible.
Yeah, like, I think he was fine for what you probably expected.
Yeah, not terrible. I will say, if Gus Edwards is out on your waivers, I think he's worth a stash. He's 1 week away from coming back. I think it would be interesting to see how he comes back. The other good for Baltimore, Mark Andrews. Can I interest you in this? Playing 90% of the snaps, 45% target rate, 2 touchdowns.
45% target rate.
Unbelievable. And then last but certainly not least, yeah, Lamar's pretty freaking good at football. Bateman struggled. We knew Bateman was going to have weeks where he struggled. They're a run-based offense, but not in a game where they score 63 combined points where he only gets 4 targets. That's a tough scene for Rashad Bateman. Let's talk about New England really quick. The good, Ramondre looked like he was the RB1 this week, which might make it a little bit murky in that backfield. He played more than Damian did. He had 6 yards per carry, 5 targets. I personally think it's still a gross backfield, but Mondre's still okay to hold on your roster. Devontae Parker, 31% target rate. Can I interest you in that? Yeah, that's pretty darn good. But I would caution you a little bit there. That could be a product of no Jacoby Myers. Still worth possibly keeping at the end of your bench. He's played over 75% of the snaps in the first 3 games. So my opinion, worth keeping an eye on. The bad, we talked about Mac Jones's injury, most likely out. I would tend to steer away from the rest of the New England targets. And then their tight end room is disgusting. They paid a lot of money for 2 guys who have been very average.
Totally.
And Hunter Henry was good last year. So yep. It's kind of a little bit surprising, but yes, they have been terrible.
Okay. Let's move on to Cincinnati versus the New York Jets. Josh.
So starting with the good, Joe Burrow ended up getting back on track. He had, 275 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, that's absolutely what you expect when you drafted him there. So you're very happy with that. Breece Hall having 11 targets. Like, he has had an insane amount of targets from the running back position. Curious if you guys think that obviously he's not getting 11 targets consistently, but curious if you think when Zach Wilson takes the mantle that he'll continue getting quite a bit of targets.
I think that goes down.
I would be shocked if it's anywhere near there with Zach Wilson.
I did think it was interesting. He played, now it wasn't much more snaps, but he played more snaps than
first time all year
in a game they were trailing.
Yep.
Yeah. But Michael Carter still had more carries than him. It's just such an odd situation there. I think obviously Breece is the more talented back, but Michael Carter's still hanging on. Tyler Boyd, it's a guy, one of those games that he has a handful of them a year where you're never going to be able to predict it, but he's just going to pop off. He's going to be far more valuable in my goodness, the type of leagues where you don't need to set your lineup, but you can just draft them in
best ball,
far more beneficial in best ball. T. Higgins had that incredible the video angle of this catch that T. Higgins supposed it wasn't
the sideline.
The sideline was incredible. It was absolutely insane. Did you guys all see this video?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh my goodness.
The reason it wasn't a catch because he didn't drag his foot. He tried putting his foot down. Unbelievable. It's kind of a weird, weird ruling.
Man. Well, and I'm kind of starting to lean because I think Brady's opinion has been that the gap between Higgins and Chase is not as big as that, like the NFL community would make it seem. And I'm starting to sip some of that Kool-Aid a little bit. But Chase, you know, had a down game for him. Touchdown saved him. 10 targets. Like he's still got plenty of work. Tyler Conklin, 8 targets, 8 grabs for 84 yards. My goodness, he's been incredible.
I talked about him after week one. I said he was worth a flyer. He is currently
he's tight end 4 in PPR. Four. Like, absolutely.
Appreciate it, Conk. Said he's saving my guillotine team. Appreciate it, Conk.
Yeah, and Flacco with 4 turnovers. The time is probably now to see. Well, when Zach
one good game, one bad game, get him out of here.
I mean, we got to see what Zach Wilson has. Like, let's see what we got going on. But yeah,
yeah, other than that, you're holding on all the New York Jets. You're holding them all until you see what Zach Wilson does with the targets there. So Joe makes it inefficient too, for what it's worth. Let's talk about the Raiders and the Titans.
I'll go quick on this one. The good Derrick Henry bounces back and does it more through the pass work, which is really exciting to see. Wasn't terribly efficient on the ground, which is still good to see him actually have a good day. Mac Hollins, breakout game for the Raiders. To be honest with you, maybe we'll talk about it when it comes to waivers, but I personally would not want him on my roster. And then the bad, haven't gotten word from the Las Vegas Police Department, but we still have not found Davante Adams yet. And Darren Waller has also gone missing as well. So stay tuned on that.
I think Davante Adams is fine. Got a touchdown, double-digit points.
36 yards, ain't going to get the job done.
Yeah, well.
5 catches. That's not Davante Adams. It's not what you drafted him for.
Tutty every week, though.
You think both the teams that made, like, both Davante and the Packers are regretting parting ways? I think that's just a lose-lose, in my opinion, right now. Unless the Raiders go 0-17, and it's a top 2 pick that they get.
Hey, one of the teams got 2 wins right now. The other one's got 0. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Offense doesn't look too good in Green Bay. But anyways, let's move on. Philly versus Washington.
All Philly, all the time. Jalen Hurts is that dude, confirmed. I mean, he's looked pretty good on the field, and he's looked very good on your fantasy lineups. A.J. Brown is obviously an auto start and just continues to produce A-plus targets every week since he's been in Philly. I think you have confidence in starting Devontae Smith. You're not going to see what you saw this past week, but you also aren't going to see what you saw week one. He's a good player. He's going to get targeted. I think you can also trust Goddard. For the Commanders, Wentz was pretty bad. I think he forced the issue a little bit against his old team. Scary Terry finally had 100 yards. You were happy about that, but it's definitely very interesting if you kind of look at the allotment of targets. He did not lead the team in targets, although he had 9. Curtis Samuel still led the group with 10. McKissick had 9 and Dotson had 8. So it is interesting what's going on over there. I don't think you're super upset with what you've gotten from Scary Terry, but you're definitely a little concerned about what the future holds. What do you guys think?
I think it's what I said at the beginning of the season. His production on the field is going to be great for the NFL. I just think fantasy-wise, it's not going to be something where you're just loving the investment you had for him. So I still feel that way. Like, he's put up some decent numbers in the NFL, but I mean, fantasy-wise, he's not really worth the investment. He's not even an RB or WR2.
I think you can feel comfortable with him playing at a wide receiver too, though. I feel like you can. The last 2 weeks, 8 targets, 9 targets. So I don't know. I think he's worth playing.
Yeah, I think his floor is pretty safe, but I definitely don't know if he has the ceiling that we thought maybe he once had.
That's fair.
I'm just so curious where Curtis Samuel came from. Like, I know he was hurt all year last year, Oh, okay. But in a like in not a good offense, like in a very ambiguous wide receiver room, he's shining right now. I don't like. Do you think that?
I mean, they invested a decent amount in him when they signed him.
True.
Before we move on to the next game, I do just want to apologize, Jalen Hurts.
That is.
Are we doing it? Are we doing this right now?
We're doing it.
Nice. We're doing it. Nice.
He scored 27 fantasy points with a subpar running game. Like, he proved he can throw the football, right? Like, we're done with it.
I'm not going to lie. Like, watching the Viking game, it was probably the most I'd sat down and just watched through Jalen Hurts. Like, he looked good. Like, when he was throwing the ball, he looked confident. He was picking his spots. Like, he definitely looks like a much improved thrower.
I would agree with that. Let's move on to the Chargers and Jaguars. Let's start with the Jags. What's good about them? I think both running backs are okay. Obviously, James Robinson is great. I don't mind the volume for Etienne. In a negative game script for him, I feel like he's more so like the pass catching back. 13 carries isn't awful. I think it's not necessarily his game script. I think that's more James Robinson. Only four less carries. I'm fine with that. Congrats to you if you took a late round flyer on Christian Kirk. That's going to pay dividends for you. He's awesome. He's going to be great for the rest of the year. We should give a shout out to the Jags as well for paying in the money. He's been worth the investment so far. Like, a lot of people made fun of it. He's had over 17 fantasy points in all 3 weeks. Give him some credit. I think Zay Jones needs to be on rosters. We're going to talk about waivers. He's played 24 targets in 3 weeks. He's played over 65% of the snaps. He's at a 28% target rate. I think he's worth keeping on your roster. And then T-Law's looked good so far. Quarterback 10, that's better than what he was being drafted at. And he's only had one interception, which is something that haunted him last year. The bad for Jacksonville. I wouldn't overreact to two blowout wins. The NFL can humble you a little bit more. I think picking up Zay Jones is fine. I wouldn't feel comfortable playing him. I think that would be a desperation play. And then ETN's future is a little murky as well, too. I don't know how confident you can feel playing him. The Chargers, there's not a lot of good right now. I would possibly trade for Eckler, if possible, if the value was low enough. The bad, Mike Williams, brutal game, a touchdown saved him. And then Herbert struggled as well. But I would expect for him to bounce back. He was banged up. So there's no other thoughts on this game. We can move on. But if there is some thoughts, please share.
I feel confident with Joshua Palmer to going forward. I think while Keenan's out, I would feel comfortable having him be like a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, but I think, isn't Keenan going to be back next week? Or did they put him on IR?
They didn't put him on IR, I don't think.
Okay.
I believe he'll be back next week. I'm not terribly concerned about the Chargers. I heard something along the lines of it's not good in their locker room as far as players with coaches. So I do worry about that a little bit.
That guy Brandon Staley?
I know. So, something about not being bought into the message from the coaches or something like that. I mean, I don't know. It's probably smoke after losing the last two games. Justin Herbert will be better. I mean, remember, he was nursing a pretty bad rib injury.
I couldn't believe they still had him in there at the end of the game.
Yes.
That surprised me.
I think so, too. Rams versus the Cardinals, Josh.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Arizona's bad. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, they're a really, really hard team to watch right now. They have the second lowest depth of target behind Chicago or just ahead of Chicago. And you have Kyler Murray at quarterback. Like, what are we doing? Hollywood had 17 targets. Like, that's obviously fantastic. Cooper Kupp had a rushing touchdown. So even
Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush.
That's so tough. Cooper Kupp, when he didn't have that good of a game receiving, I mean, for his standards, he had a bad game receiving, still, you know, was a very good, you know, fantasy game by just, you know, securing that rushing touchdown, which was fantastic. James Conner's been bad. Let's just call it what it is. Like, he has not been good. That you drafted him for the touchdowns, and if this offense is not going to be nearly as high powering as what we thought it was going to be, he's going to disappoint on that ADP like crazy. And I, you know, Benjamin's not going to do it. One thing that I thought was incredibly interesting from this game is a potential baton handoff between Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers. Akers had 12 carries and Henderson had 4. I think that's, I mean, Akers did have a huge fumble.
Fumble.
It was not great, but it was right on the goal line. Another, but you could spin that as like, okay, that's an opportunity for another. That was a goal line carry. He could have, you know, hypothetically gone in and made that day even better. So if you want to spin it that way, Stafford's been, you know, not what you want. He's been a huge disappointment for where you drafted him as well. We don't know if it, do you think it's health related or do you just think it's scheme and just, you know, the ups and downs of the season?
I just think he's been bad. I don't know if it's because of his elbow injury. I just don't think he's been very good.
I mean, he was good last week.
He wasn't. Are you saying week 2?
Yeah,
against Atlanta. Oh,
sorry, I thought you meant this year.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, I do think we need to cut Kyler Murray a little slack. I mean, the beta for Call of Duty did come out this weekend.
I saw that on Twitter. I don't know who said it, but that was a good one too.
He had a really bad game as well. 58 attempts. He had 58 attempts and he had 13 fantasy points. That and he only rushed the ball twice. That's like a
Justin Fields this whole year.
That is a that's a huge, huge reason why Kyler Murray is such an asset for fantasy is his legs and being able to get like 40, 50 yards, you know, in a game. But he's just not giving you that baseline, and he's just been a huge bust as well.
Yep.
But much of what you've expected, much to expect from this game, not a whole lot else after that.
Atlanta and Seattle, Bradley.
Really quick, Cordero Patterson was probably the bright spot of the entire game for both teams. He's been really getting it done on the ground. It is kind of the most important thing. He really hasn't gotten a lot of work in the pass game, but he's RB5 overall, which is great to see. Kyle Pitts sighting. He flashed early in the game, kind of disappeared a little bit in the second half, but he did still finish with a 40% target share, which, I mean, should excite you as a fantasy owner. The bad is the Seattle running backs. I guess my question for you guys is, rest of the season, which of the two would you want?
Ken Walker. I think they're going to go to him as well. Can't play either of them right now.
Exactly. I would go with Ken Walker as well.
But DK Metcalf. Yeah. How do you feel about DK Metcalf? You have 12 targets. I mean, even Lockett had 11 targets too. Threw the ball 44 times.
I'm not excited about anybody. If they're wearing a Seahawks jersey, I'm not really feeling excited about that offense.
Will Disley? I did 11.
Got a tutty.
Let's move on. Green Bay versus Tampa Bay. Jay Bex, you have a minute to talk about your team.
This does not have to be that long. Absolute defensive battle. Not a ton of fancy points to go around in this one. The Packers were kind of cooking early until the fumble late in the first half by Aaron Jones on the goal line after the catch. After that, it was basically nothing. For either side of the ball. So not super thrilled by any of your assets in this one. I think it was more so, you know, tip the hat to the defense as opposed to being very much concerned with any of your assets. Romeo Doubs is, I think, interesting moving forward. He's the first receiver not named Devontae since 2018 to have 8 catches in a game, which is a wild stat.
That's bad. 8 catches is not that high of a bar. To the
wide receiver core.
Yes.
Since week 1 in 2018, it was Randall Cobb.
Oh, my word.
What do you guys think as far as Fournette and Aaron Jones being two? I mean, you could probably even throw A.J. Dillon into this, but being two or three potential trade low candidates.
I'd love to trade A.J. Dillon. I have him on a league, and you don't feel excited to play to A.J. Dillon right now.
I do.
Okay.
To my guy.
I think Fournette, I think one thing that you can write home about with Fournette is he's still getting work. Like, he's been horribly efficient with it, but I mean, his game is usually touchdowns and receiving work as well. And he's only hasn't had a ton of either. So, but he's still getting a lot of the work. He has 91% of the snaps. So I'm still feeling okay on Fournette.
That's fair. Okay, so if Jeremy got a minute and a half to talk about the Green Bay versus the Buccaneers, I get 30 seconds because this game was even grosser than the Packers and Bucks. What's good about the game? Nothing on the San Francisco side. Debo, high floor player. On the Denver side, what was good? Cortland Sutton, welcome to it. 30% target rate. Currently right now he's the wide receiver 17 without a touchdown. That's a 6'4", 6'5", receiver that doesn't have a touchdown yet. So he would be a buy low candidate if you think – quote unquote low. I think he's going to go higher than what wide receiver 17. The bad, you sure the Niners are better with Jimmy G? I don't think so. And then the bad for Denver, Russell Wilson should be on waivers right now. In a single quarterback league, you should not be holding on to Russell Wilson.
I'm going to.
Why? He's been horrible.
It's a big name. Quarterback
23?
It's got to get better.
Has to.
Be gone. Go all the way.
I mean, I don't blame you at all, but it's a tough situation because his ceiling's high.
You cannot go from roster to waivers without being on stash or trash, and he has not been on stash or trash.
Really adding
this week. So next week, let's have a conversation.
No, he just got added to the doc. So
stash.
Okay. Anything else with this game?
No.
Okay. Let's take a quick break, come back and do a week four preview.
Hi guys, this is Jeremy Becker from the Fourth and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at Fourth and a Mile Pod. That's Fourth and a Mile Pod. Thanks guys, and now back to the sports.
Welcome back into the Fourth and a Mile podcast. We're getting into some week four preview. We are starting with our waivers, and we're doing it a little bit differently. So we are doing our top five waiver claims, and if we have any honorable mentions, we'll do that after. So we want to start with our number one or number five waiver target.
Let's do five.
Why'd you ask them, Brady?
Sorry, I thought it through. We got it. We're good. Number five waiver target. Who is it for you?
Mine is Joshua Palmer. I think that he
just give the player. You don't need to say it.
Sorry, Joshua Palmer.
David Njoku.
Oh, I like that.
Bradley.
Let's ride.
I also have David Njoku. Easy enough for me.
Easy for you to say.
Njoku. Jeremy, who your fifth one is? Njoku?
Yep.
My fifth is Zay Jones. Oh. Who's your number four?
Matt Collins.
Romeo Doubs.
Romeo. Are we cheating off each other?
We are, Bradley? Cheating. We'll find out number three here in just a second.
My number four is Tyler Conklin.
Interesting.
Should he be higher?
No.
Okay. Well, number three. Number Zay three Jones. For you.
I had Russell Gage. His target share was too good not to be involved a little bit more next week.
This is where we differ, Bradley.
Shoot.
I had Zay Jones.
Love to see it, Becker. We all have the same top two.
Well, can I do my third one first?
No, yeah, Brady, please do.
Okay. Sorry. Mine was Romeo Doubs.
Number three. Okay.
Who is your number two?
Jamal Williams.
Khalil Herbert.
Khalil Herbert for me.
Herbert.
Which Jamal I'm guessing Williams. That means that Khalil Herbert is your number one option, Josh.
That is correct.
For me, it's Jamal Williams. I think the reason why it's more Jamal Williams over Khalil Herbert.
Just give the name and move forward.
No, this is more important. These two are the big ones. Okay. But I think even when Montgomery and Swift are healthy, I think Williams has
more of
a role.
That's very fair.
Than Herbert does when Montgomery is there.
That's a good enough reason for me to
change. And we know Swift is out for 2 weeks, for sure. We don't know if Montgomery is.
Dang.
Any honorable mentions? Mine was Matt Collins.
Mine was Cock.
My honorable mention was Greg Dortch.
Dortch.
Ooh, good one. That's a good one.
Dude did have 10 targets.
Again, like, what are we doing? He's always in there.
Yep. Ready for some starts with, we got stash or trash. Oh, the most important.
And ahead segment. Of ourselves.
Stash or trash. Okay. Well, let's get through these really quick. George Pickens for the third straight week, stash or trash.
Trash. Why is he still in this?
Stash.
See you, Josh.
Why is
Jarvis Landry?
Fair.
Jarvis Landry.
Trash
for me.
Trash.
Josh, you better say trash if you're saying trash George Pickens.
Oh, for Jarvis Landry, I said trash.
Okay, yes. DJ Moore.
Stash.
I put JK next to that. That's trash, though. So
disrespectful.
Darnell Mooney.
Trash.
Man.
Gotta go.
I'm hanging on. If you're picking him up, If you're dropping them for Jamal or Herbert, any of the guys we talked about, I get it. But if not, I'm hanging on to them.
One more week.
Hawkinson.
You can't really stash a tight end, can you?
I'm stashing. That means you're playing him. That's what it means. Right.
I stash.
Would you rather have Conklin or
absolutely
Hawkinson?
Absolutely.
The only argument for me is that it could change when Zach Wilson was back. That's the only argument for me.
That's true. That's true.
I think of those two, I think I'd go Hawkinson for that reason.
Here's some high level ones. I think Damian Harris.
Old Earth Cheese Stash.
Yikes. Stash.
Didn't get the memo, huh, Josh?
Oh, no, I certainly did not.
Elijah Moore.
Super concerning.
Stash, though. You got to wait until Zach Stash. Wilson's back.
Get 10 targets.
Yep.
Yeah. Treylon Burks.
Stash. For sure.
Yep.
Dude, he had 97% snap rate last week.
Yeah. How about Allen Robinson? We're concerned, right?
I feel pretty good about this one, and that's trash. I'm not doing it this year. I'm not doing it.
No, you're not. Yeah, yeah, right.
No,
I'm Bradley's not just so.
Year. No, I'm done with it. I had too many shares last year, and this year I don't have a single share of him. But if I did, I'm cutting him.
Okay.
Wait, Judy. I want to test that. Wait, Bradley, Romeo Doubs or Allen Robinson rest of season? Who would you rather have on your roster?
Dobbs.
Okay.
Jerry Jeudy.
Stash, for sure.
Stash.
I think you got to stash him, too.
Stash.
Okay. Let's talk some starts of the week.
Starts of the week.
Okay. So I get to start this week. My quarterback start of the week last week was Kirk Cousins. He needed to be top 12. He finished at 9, or currently is at 9, so that's a hit. Go me. My quarterback start of the week this week is Kyler Murray versus the Carolina Panthers.
Good pick.
Bradley handled that well.
8.
I feel good about 8.
That's fine.
Brady, how do you feel about that?
If he don't get top 8, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve a point.
All right. Well, that brings me to my start of the week. Last week was Russell Wilson, and he was very limited.
30 quarterbacks played. He was 26.
My goodness. So very much not what we wanted to see. And my start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Kirk in London against the Saints.
We're screwed.
Brady got so sad.
Dude, Brady, like your body language was way too like, oh my gosh, really? Like you actually meant that. You, what the heck?
12.
12.
We'll take it.
You know what I mean? Bradley.
So this last week I had Derek Carr finish. Or is currently the quarterback 6, so that's a big time hit. This week I'm going with Jared Goff versus the Seattle Seahawks.
That's a great one. I'll go top 12.
I'll give you QB1.
Yeah.
Can I ask an honest question for you guys? What else would he be? Like, are you guys debating?
No, top that's 10? What. No, not even a little bit.
Okay.
Picking a fight, Bradley, or what?
Yes. Bradley,
you're up.
Oh, I am. My quarterback start of the week last week. Well, you guys talk about Josh's. He gets worse, boys. Carson Wentz need to be top 30. He was. No, he need to be top 12. He was not. Top 28. My quarterback start of the week this week is Russell Wilson.
Really?
What are we doing?
He's coming back, boys. He's coming back. He got a little loose top towards 10. The end, a couple little scampers.
Top 10, Bradley?
Yes.
No. He's top 12.
He's top 12 for sure.
He's in a tier below Jared Goff.
I'd feel phenomenal if I were you, Jeremy.
Okay, my running back start of the week in week 2 was Derrick Henry. He needed to be top 6. He is currently 3, so that is a hit. 2 for 2. My running back start of the week this week is Jamal Williams versus Seattle. Not a question.
top 12.
It sucks.
I would say 15.
15.
I think 15.
You got to feel great about that, Brady. Just call it what it is.
Why? He's a backup running
back. I'm just pissed. Like, I'm pissed. He's
a backup running back.
It's fine.
Okay. Go ahead, Josh. I'm mad. So my running back start of the week last week, you're going to sense a theme here this week, was Rashad Penny. He needed to get top 20, and he did not. My start of the week at the running back position this upcoming week is going to be Khalil Herbert.
Top 15.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Put on the board.
All right.
What if Montgomery?
That would be tough. My biggest disappointment out of my four starts of the week coming at the running back position, that was Alvin Kamara. Need to be top 9. He is currently the 40th running back. That's a big head scratcher for me, honestly.
Week's not done. Still a shot.
It's going to be worse.
It was a dumb joke. Bradley, you can just move on.
It's okay. I appreciate it.
I'm going Javonte Williams versus the Vegas Raiders.
It's 12. What do you give me that look for, Bradley? That is a good line.
12's good, huh?
Jamal and Khalil Herbert are 15. Javonte is 12. Let's just call it what it is.
Well, my running back start of the week, see, I didn't have to wait this time, so I'm excited about this one, was Cordarrelle Patterson. Need to be top 5. Need to be top 18. He was.
Get all ahead of yourself.
Need to be top 5.
It's a good pull. Good pull.
That was really good pull.
Love it. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, boys. Hopefully we can have a repeat offender. We're going to go with Leonard Fournette versus the Chiefs.
Top 10.
I would say 12.
Yeah, top 12 is good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Josh.
I'm a big Leonard guy. I think he's going to be great.
Okay, my wide receiver start of the week was T. Higgins. I felt great about it to start the week, and then he didn't catch another ball. This week, I'm going off of a quote-unquote bye week for him, Mike Evans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't a bye week. He got suspended.
12.
Becker?
Yeah, 12's fine.
Hey, thanks. Josh, you're up.
My wide receiver start of the week last week was Curtis Samuel, and he needed to get top 24. He did not. He got 37. This is a pretty good week for wide receivers, I feel like. My wide receiver start of the week.
You say it was an okay week for Curtis Samuel?
He did okay.
It sounded like it was okay.
He did okay. And we are going to go another London game. We're going Chris Olave versus Minnesota in London. Brady's face whenever I
know. There's the Josh we know.
Brady sucks. Let's just call it what it is.
Let's ride the wave, Josh.
18.
I've been on Chris Olave since the beginning of the season.
I'm saying if somebody has a good week, you dang well know Josh queued him up.
I don't know if you can talk to him because I won last week. I won last year, but.
Bradley, go ahead.
We agreed on top 18.
Yep.
Okay. I went Brandon Cooks. He is currently the wide receiver 75 this week, so that's probably going to be a miss. See how the Monday night games play out, but we'll go from there.
So he can make that joke.
I'm going to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I'm going to double up or stack Goff with Brown versus the Seahawks.
12? Or is that like a super generous line?
I'll give you 14.
Generous. He says generous.
I'll give you 14.
And he's been balling.
Giving Mike Evans 12.
Jeremy, what do you think?
15.
Appreciate that.
Tossing a bone. God, that slapped a smile right on Bradley's face.
Oh, Cooks was 15 last week. That seems about.
Yeah. Wide receiver 75 coming this next week.
One has Jared Goff. The other one has Davis Mills. Let's just call it what it is. It's not even close.
That's a fair point. All right, 14. My wide receiver start of the week. So I was happy about Cordarrelle. I was really happy about this one. It's Chris Olave. Needed to be top 24. He's number 7. Let's go.
Yeah.
My wide receiver start of the week this week is going to be Amari Cooper versus the Falcons.
He was on my list.
14.
I was going to say 18.
15.
Bradley's going to punch
me. Contingency, if Amon-Ra's doubtful, I'm going to go with Bateman. Because he got banged up in the Vikes game.
Top 20. 12. We'll see where it goes. So let's talk about tight ends. Gerald Everett last week for me was the tight end 31. Not going to get it done. My tight end start of the week this week, I'm a little nervous about it with the new quarterback, but I'm going Tyler Conklin against Pittsburgh.
Top 12?
Yeah.
My start of the week at the tight end position last week was Cole Kmetz. Just nearly got it. Tight end 25.
What a my guy pick.
Why do we got to do that?
So disrespectful. Just
I didn't know that they were not going to throw the ball over 20 times ever. Luke Getsky, you let me down, man.
Getsky, not Wayne Gretzky.
What did I say?
Anyways, you said Getsky. Anyways.
Dawson Zach, Knox at Baltimore.
Okay.
12. 10.
Okay, 10. Brady did not like that.
Yeah, okay, 10 good. It is. So I went with Kyle Pitts. Oh, he was supposed to be top 5. He is currently the 6th tight end. Really didn't have that bad of a week. I'm okay. That's a good miss by Bradley.
third person now?
I'm going Zach Ertz versus Carolina.
Top 10.
Yep, that's good. Hey, Max, close us out.
I am sad. I just got my two top options picked. So my tight end start of the week last week was Patty F. Yep, not as good as my other two that we talked about before. My tight end start of the week this week is going to be Gerald Everett. We're going back to it.
Good luck.
versus Houston could be okay.
Versus Houston, top 3.
Brady just casually throwing strays to Houston consistently.
Top 10
is fine. That's what I mean. Cool. Okay, let's finish with our ones got to go. We're talking some AFC teams. I would say these are probably the 4 favorites right now and probably the power rankings. The Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, and Baltimore Ravens. Which one's got to go?
Oh, man.
I'll go first. Miami's got to go.
Same. I think so, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of Baltimore depressing. Had them beat.
Yeah.
How would you rank them?
Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, Miami.
Same.
That is
see, exactly how I would rank them.
Same. Wow, we're boring.
Elite football mind.
I guess. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you so much for joining us. Go deep, and we'll see you.